So we're in Galatians chapter 6, our final meditation on the death of the Lord Jesus. This is not an original thing, it was taken from the book, The Cross of Christ by John Stott, building on ideas that he sort of presented in that book. And this is the climax really, it's the cross and boasting. The cross and boasting, the cross and showing off. So verse 13, the Apostle Paul says this, he says, not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. Yeah, they want to boast that you've joined with them. So I've got a friend, and one day my friend was invited to a meal by a businessman, local businessman, and the aim was conversion. He wanted my friend to become a part of his religion. Okay, in this case, Islam. My friend went to the meal, had the meal, and listened to the man as he spoke to him about his faith and what would be involved and the benefits as to why he needed to leave his religion. And when the time came for my friend to speak, he said to the businessman, I hear what you're saying to me this evening, but I have a problem. And the problem is this. The faith you are putting forward is almost impossible to keep. You can't keep it. You can't do it, not properly, not 100%. And that's why I can't convert. And you know what the businessman said? Ah, you've got a point. You've got a point. This is the secret that the religious people keep from the non-religious. And they even keep it from themselves. That is, most religions, you can't do it. It can't be done, and they don't do it 100%. They may do it 40%, 50%, 60%. They can't do it 100%. Because not only do you have to do it and do it all the time and do it consistently, you've got to do it with the right spirit and you've got to do it with the right heart. You've got to actually enjoy it, and most of them don't, or they can't. Yeah, I mean, the sexual and financial scandals in faith communities, why do you think that's happened? Because of Galatians 6, you can't do it. Religion can have a limited restraining on people, but it can't stop the behavior, it can't stop the flow of things in our mind and in our hearts. It can't do it. And now you're dealing with a 100% perfect holy God. 50, 60, 70 won't do. It won't do. And that is why we need a saviour. That was the whole point of what we do know. We need a saviour and we need Christ. We need him. Because you can't do it. Verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Okay, so boasting or glorying or exalting. We were created to boast. We were created as human beings to boast. We were created to boast in our Creator. And the way he's made us and what we understand about him. We're going to boast and glory in who he is and what he's done. But then there's a fallen world, isn't there? Beginning with Adam's disobedience and our taking up of the baton, ongoing disobedience. And the result is there's still boasting. But now the boasting has gone away from God and it's gone to man. It's gone to us. And the boasting becomes selfish. And yes, it becomes kind of tedious. So let's look at it under three headings. Boasting, human boasting, religious boasting, cross-centered boasting. Human boasting, religious boasting, cross-centered boasting. So, human boasting. That is a part of who we are and what we do. Now, that is boasting from the start of your life to the end of your life. Boasting will be from the cradle and to the grave. It will be from the little five-year-old in kindergarten or nursery saying, my drawing is better than yours. Okay? Right down to the end of our lives where we're telling people, my retirement plan and package is better than yours. We boast all the time. And so we will, our range of boasting is endless. We will boast about our family background. We will boast about our nationality. We will boast of our education. We will boast about work. We will boast about our salary. We will boast about our savings. We will boast about our holidays. We will boast about our homes. We will boast about our neighborhood. We will boast about our experiences. We'll boast about our abilities. We'll boast about our interests. We'll boast about our relationships. We will boast about our possessions. We'll boast about our health. We'll boast about our fitness. We'll boast about our diets. We'll boast about our associates. We'll boast about our connections. We'll boast about our knowledge. We are so big with boasting, we've even created a particular style of boasting in the last 20, 30 years, what's called the humble brag. Okay, the humble brag, whereby I just boast in passing. So someone says, well, where have you been? You've been, you're late for this meal. I couldn't help it. I had to pick up the Mercedes, that's why. The humble brag. Some bragging is humorous in the right context. You know, like a Muhammad Ali, you know, wink in your eye sort of boasting. But most boasting is tedious and is prideful, isn't it? And we need to know something. Boasting is not restricted to atheists. Boasting is not restricted to atheists. There's a lot of boasting in religion. Religious people are just as bad. We boast all the time, don't we? We boast about numbers. We boast about our history. We'll boast about our influence. We'll boast about our buildings. We'll boast about our acceptance with God. We will tell people we are the people. We are the people who God loves. So a little while ago, a few years back, I was sharing the gospel with a local lady. And she was from Italy. And she was had a Roman Catholic background. And she said to me, I've been to Jerusalem. Have you? I said, no. She said, well, I've been to Jerusalem. Okay, so here we go, it's a start. She said, and here's the religions I saw. I saw Judaism. I saw Islam. I saw Roman Catholicism. But I didn't see you lot. Where were you? I didn't see you lot at all. And the implication was, you're not in Jerusalem. You lot are nothing. You're nothing because you don't have anything in Jerusalem. Now, she's wrong, actually, because there are Messianic Jewish people there and there are Arabic Christians there. So actually, she's completely wrong. But do you see the point? Religiously, you're always boasting. We are something and you are nothing. And that's before we come to personal religious boasting, where I'm boasting about observances. I've been here, I've done that. I boast about my knowledge. I boast about my place in the religious community. I boast about my experience. I boast about my giving. Yeah? And the plan is, based on that, I'm going to come before God, and what am I going to do? I'm going to boast. That's my plan. I'm boasting before Him. God, do you see what I've done religiously? Now will you forgive me? Will you let me into heaven? And it's going to be great disappointment, isn't it? Yeah? See, that was my trajectory. That was my path to judgment and rejection by God. Boasting. It's going to leave you rejected by God. It's a dangerous practice before a 100% God to bring before him 50, 60, 70% of action and activity. We need a saviour. We need a saviour. Okay, cross-centred boasting. Right, verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder if this morning you're wearing a chain. Okay, looking around, I can't tell. One person I can see with a chain. Would you wear a noose? You know, the type of thing you use to hang someone as a chain around your neck. You know, a metal, perhaps a silver or a gold noose. Would you wear that around your neck? Or would you wear a metal rifle? You know, the rifle that's used to execute people. Or a needle. Yeah, something in the shape of a needle that would represent a lethal injection that you would give. Would you wear it around your neck? The cross now, the cross today, 20th century, a piece of jewellery. You'll give to someone who you love. The cross then, symbol of execution. You're not wearing it around your neck. Are you mad? Are you crazy? What kind of person's going to do that? Especially when that cross represents, or rather you say that that cross represents, the victory of your king. Yeah? Your king has died. How can it be victory? How can you boast and show off about the death of Christ? Well, we know, don't we? Because of the verses that we've read. Because of the verses that we read earlier from Galatians. They have given us our cause for boasting. Because this is the conclusion, the build-up, the climax of all those verses. It's come to boasting. So let's go back over some of those verses. Chapter 1, you might have it, you might have the sheet of paper near you. Or you could just go to chapter 1, verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3. What has the cross done for us? Are you ready? Chapter 1, verse 3. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. What has the cross done for us? It has brought deliverance. It has brought you deliverance and it has brought you freedom. You have been freed through the death of Jesus Christ. Okay? And someone may say, well, okay, but besides this deliverance, what has the cross done for you? So chapter 2, verse 19. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What has the cross done for you? It's united me to Christ. And it sorted out my punishment. I have been punished in him. And it's marvelous, isn't it? And you may say, well, hold on a minute then. Okay, besides the deliverance in chapter 1 and the unity in chapter 2, what has the cross actually done for you? Chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians. Yeah, you foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. What has the cross done for you? It is portrayed. It's been portrayed vividly and brightly in preaching, and it has given you life. That's what the cross has done. You say, okay. But besides the deliverance, besides the unity, besides the shiny bright preaching, what has the cross done for us? Chapter 3, verse 13. 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Everyone. What has the cross done? Through the cross, my rebellion has been dealt with. My disobedience has been dealt with. He has become my substitute. He has died in my place. He's died in your place. And you say, okay, but besides the deliverance, besides the unity, besides the vivid preaching, besides the substitution, what has the cross done for you? 524. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. He's given us holiness. We're now going to be able to become like Christ. That is now our destiny and our purpose. Yeah, as I put sin to death, the fruit will flow. The fruit will flow. You will become more like Christ. Where does the boasting come from? In religion, it comes from me. It comes from my achievements and what I've done. In the gospel, it will come from the cross and what Christ has done. That is the difference. And the increase in boasting, because that's what we're called to, the increase in boasting will be an increased meditation, an increased realization of what Christ has done. As I come to him regularly during the week, yeah, whether it's morning or evening, I pray, I read the scriptures, and I meditate on them, and the marvellousness and beauty of the cross dawns on me, and it increases my boasting and my joy. So, who do we boast to? The answer is everyone, as much as you can. You should boast to yourself about what Christ has done. There's a rich tradition of Christians being encouraged to talk to themselves and to pray to themselves and remind themselves of what Christ has done. That's the starting point. If you can't convince yourself, who are you going to convince? That's number one. We're going to boast to the world. And that is evangelism and that is witnessing. And we're going to boast to the church family. That's called encouragement. It's called edification. It's called exhortation. That's what you're going to be doing. And the reason why we probably struggle in our boast to the world and to share our faith is we probably don't boast enough to one another. Yeah? Who was the last Christian you boasted about the gospel to? You reminded them about what Christ has done. Yeah? If we're going to increase our boasting to the world, we need to first and foremost increase our boasting to one another. Find that Christian who you can boast to by text or give them a call, send them a card, have a chat with them on the phone. Let's finish with the effects of the cross and our boasting. So verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. At the end of Galatians, we've come right back to the beginning. Because in chapter 1, verse 4, we were told that Christ has given himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Yeah? Deliverance from the world. And chapter 6 gives us a slightly different angle as we sort of finish. That is, the world is crucified to me. The world is dead to me. But it has no attraction. And I have no desire for its values. And I to the world. The world looks at you and says, you're Christian, you love Jesus, it's hopeless. We can't corrupt you. We can't fear you into becoming like us and behaving like us. You're useless to us. That is often the case, isn't it? Our faith leaves us useless to the world. The world can't use us. He says, I'll get lost and join other Christians. We can't corrupt you. There's no point. So I was thinking about think it's Hong Kong. There was a lot of gang activity, crime activity, and a lot of the guys selling drugs were taking the drugs. And as a result, they were addicts. And there was one Christian woman who came and she was witnessing to them, was praying for them, and many of them turned to Christ. And she sort of got away with it for a long time. And I think the gang leaders of these crime families talked about it and thought, well, look, they were useless before because they're all addicts, but they're useless now because they're following Christ. Their hearts have been changed. We can't do anything with them. So we just sort of let them go to follow Christ. That's you. You're useless to the world. You've changed sides. You can't be corrupted. What can we do with you? Nothing. 6:15. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. Yeah? Religious observance will not work. If we want to please God, if we want forgiveness, we need a new heart. You need a new heart. As Christians, we have three traditional enemies, we're told, aren't we? We're told the enemies are sin, the world, and the devil. Sin, the world, the devil. Well, what does the cross give me? Chapter 5, victory over sin. Chapter 6, victory over the world. Yeah? The anti-God values that often corrupt you and corrupt people cannot now be yours. You're free from it. It can't use you. And so here's the great application of the cross. Here's the great application of everything we've looked at over the last few weeks. I will turn. I will repent. I will believe. I will boast. Yeah, we're going to turn, we're going to repent, we're going to believe, and we're going to start boasting. That is the thing that God wants from us. Okay, so we're going to pray in a moment as we finish that we'd be effective boasters of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're going to boast for Jesus. To him be the glory for all that he's revealed, both this morning and over the last few weeks. Amen.